Okay, tape two, December 4th. Talking to Stanley. See, I got to identify this. What if I lose the box or something?
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So it's a dirt moving proposition.
Yeah.
So there's nobody around at hydraulics anymore?
Well, they do a little, but see, that's another thing that they're frowning against is hydraulic and see in mud. Well, you got this mud. Of course, you got to have a certain amount of water to sluice your, you know, your dirt to catch your gold separated from the gravel, you might say.
But by hydraulic, and you don't mean, well, what do you mean by that?
Well, hydraulic, and you use strictly water, you know, and everything, all your muck and everything, you tow with water. Where now with cats, they push so much of that out. They stack it out. You know, you don't even touch it with water till you come to this, to the paid, and you sluice it, of course, running through your boxes or washing plant, whatever you got.
So is there anybody around Eureka or Tofty or, you know, just around Manly District that was moving everything with water?
No, there's nobody anymore. They're all, it's printed all cat work and drag lines now.
But there used to be?
Huh?
There used to be when you...
Oh, yeah, it was strictly water at one time, you know, before the bulldozers come in. And dug ditches, you know, and use strictly water.
That's Tofty country, too?
Well, all over the country, you know.
There's hardly any water around there, though.
Well, they got long ditches, you know.
So what's with these ditches? You see them on the map and stuff,
Well, the ditches, you know, you get the head of these creeks and you dam them up and you bring your water down. See, you got to go up these creeks and, you know, to get grades so you can so you could have pressure, you know, with your lay your pipeline, you know, and then with your giant, you use giants, you know, to tow your ground or certain ways you drove it into, you drive your gravel pay into your boxes, then what they call it's a different mine, and mostly a bit different now than it was. They don't do that much anymore. They all got slick plates, you know, and pumps and, you know, lots of pressure and push into these slick plates, you know. And
what's a slick plate?
Well, that's where they sluice their dirt, you know. They got a big box, and they got water in there and riffles in there, too. And then they got also, they got sluice boxes and riffles, you know.
So you get the big stuff out in the slick
plate.
Yeah,
and that's the... And they, a lot of them, they push in with cats, and a lot of them push up, and then they take front-end loaders. They got big front-end loaders, you know, 3-4 yard, and dump in there, you know.
Well, what kind of operation are you planning over there in Killarney?
Oh, Creek? We're just going to have a small operation, a slick plate, and a couple of small cats. It's just a couple of a small operation, you know.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the small operation.
No, it's just something to make a living, you know. You got to get out and try to make a living, the same as anything else.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing, you know. And sometimes I wonder, you know, that maybe some of these big operators aren't going backwards sometimes, too.
Well, a lot of times, see, there's a lot of years, you know, you can lose money, too. You know what I mean? You hit a bum season, bum spot. There's a lot of headaches, and the same as anything else. You get dry years, you know, like farming, you lose your crop. Same thing with mining. You get real dry years, you got no water, you can't do nothing, you can't sluice. And then you can have lots of tough luck, everything bucking your breakdowns, and there's a dozen things, you know. It ain't all a gravy train, you know. Of course, if you get in good money, you know, and everything goes right, well, sure, you come out the end of the season smelling like a rose, but you can come out pretty hungry, too.
So what kind of a guy, you've known a lot of miners around here, what kind of a guy do you think is a successful miner? What's it take to be a successful miner?
Well, a successful mining, like anything else, if you got the ground and the money in it, you can make money, you know. Of course, it takes a little common sense, too. But you hear all these stories, well, that guy's a good miner. Sure, he's a good miner. He's probably got some good ground, you know. Where the other guy maybe nicks creek, he's got some hungry ground, you know. It ain't very good, but he just working on it with the chance he's going to make it, you know. Well, he ain't making anything. Well, then he ain't a very good miner, naturally, you know. Well, same as anything else. You get on some ground, you got a good proposition, you know. Then a lot of guys ain't got their judgment. He, you know, can foul up too, or guys will go in right behind him, you know, and make it pay, you know, a little better common sense, you know.
Well, that's the kind of thing I was really thinking about, you know. So, say, I mean, a guy's got to know his way around machinery and stuff like that. And a guy's got to work, feeling like he wants to work pretty hard, probably.
Well, you got to work on it, you know, and a lot of guys are pretty hard workers, you know. Then a lot of guys, too, they get the idea they got a bunch of junk, you know, which they're broke down all the time, you know. And then more generally, got a lot of guys take good care of this stuff, and they got good stuff to start with. They're working all the time mining, you know, not repairing tractors when they're supposed to be mining. There's a lot in that, too, you know. There's nobody makes it with junk, you know, on any job, you know that, you know, contractors or what. You got a bunch of junk, you don't make nothing, you know. You got to keep the dirt rolling, moving.
So a lot of ways, mining's a money proposition
too. Yeah, it's.
So I imagine that guy's got to be not only interested in mining, but he's got to be interested in making money.
Oh, yeah, you got to. Well, anybody that goes mining, you know, you're going with the idea of making a few dollars, whether you do or not, you know. You see, there's so many guys come up in this country who want to mine, you know, they hear about that. They think any place, any creek you go on, you know, if you got a, especially if you got a cat, they think any place you go with a cat, you can make money. Well, you can't. You got to first have some money in the ground to start with. And it ain't just the cat, you know. There's a million things you need. Tools and fuel and sluice boxes and welders and cutting outfits and camp equipment and some money to buy fuel and grub. And it ain't just... There's all kinds of guys I see in my time. They thought, well, I got a cat. I'll go and... It don't turn out all the time that way. And then a lot of guys got the idea, just like I say, they think just because they got a cat, or then other guys think different. They go with the idea, they if I make it, all right, you know, they want to make, you know, they ain't looking at a, you know, they're going to make a million, you know. There's been guys up in this country, you know, that come here. Well, you ain't seen too many of them. Well, I have in my time, you know. There was a lot of the old stampeders in you, you know, come to the Klondike in 98, you know, and then some made money, but there was a lot of them that didn't. And some of them prospected all their lives and never did hit nothing. And some guys was lucky, you know, there's always getting in on something. Because there wasn't a rich creek for everybody that come to Alaska, you know.
Was there a limit on the number of claims you could have those days?
There was the early days. I think you could stake what you wanted. I don't know, and you could stake other guys in. But when I first come here, you could only stake one claim a month. But you could get power of attorneys, you know. You could from a different guy, and you could stake for him too. But you could only stake so many a month. But then, since they made this a state, now you can stake any amount. You can stake 500 claims a day if you can stake that many. Of course, no, you can't stake that many. You know what I mean? But you can stake any amount you want.
Right. Unless they had a helicopter. And a
well, if you went out with a big crew and helicopter, now you stake quite a few claims in a day, you know.
So, you ever meet miners that are just into it because they love to mine?
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of guys that really got the fever, you know, and they just, yeah, there's a lot of them.
And it doesn't matter to them if they make it or not.
Well, they want to make it, you know, but they just keep going. If they bum year, they'll go year after year, you know, with the chance of making it. Yeah, I know a lot of them around.
So, how about miners helping each other out?
Huh?
How about a couple miners helping each other out?
Oh, they most generally, they're always, they get along pretty good. The biggest majority will. They'll help one another out, you know, parts or stuck or with cat work or something. They're pretty good, you know.
So it's not like competition
then? No, no, it's nothing like that. Well, she happened, some on a big creek, you know, long creek or some different guys on it, you know, and some guy don't turn out too good. They'll buck one another, you know, but otherwise it's all pretty good, you know.
So, like, if you got, say, 3 or 4 mines working on the same creek, you ever got water problems out of that?
Well, no, you don't have much water problem there because the guy's got to, after he uses the water, see, there is a law, he's got to turn it back in a creek. See, your Mojendi's mining in a creek, and you can use it, you know, after you can't, there's no way you can really take the water away from a guy that's down below you, you know, if you're up above, you know, getting it first. That's one good law they have got, you know, you can't, these, I guess, years ago have a lot of trouble, years and years ago on that.
Well, what if you made a ditch and you just diverted the whole stream over to another stream?
Well, you gotta turn it in where the guy below you can use it. You can take it, but then you can only use it so much and it's got to go back in a creek again, see? Huh.
So people, you know, when they think about mining around here, people always think about gold. But what else do people mine?
Well, now, you know, like these big outfits and all that coming in prospect, you know, they ain't all looking for gold. They're looking for any kind of a good mineral, you know, body of mineral, silver or gold or tin or anything. If they get a big body, well, of course, uranium, you know, they always been after that. And there's different metals, that's tungsten or platinum or any, you know, anything. See, they got so many different ways now of prospecting too, you know, different metal detectors and that, you know, that can give you an idea, you know. Well, then a lot of these big companies are looking for oil, you know, too, you know. Of course, that's altogether different prospecting, you know.
So, like, say that there was somebody, some young guy that might be in school now, you know, and they got the idea they want to be a miner. You know, like they see these guys walk around like you and some other people and they're like, wow, that's what they want to be.
Well, there's all kinds of guys. They take these engineers, you know, go to school, learn to be an engineer. But, of course, they get a lot out of books, you know, that have been hand down. But then actually the best experiences get right out in the field, you know, like a lot of things, you know. Of course, everybody's got to learn. Uh-huh. You know, we all did, you know.
So the main thing, if some, yeah, I'm thinking about a guy maybe in, you know, 15 or something like that, you know, just real young.
Oh, well,
but he's got kind of this romantic idea. He wants to go be a miner.
Well, there's a lot of that. They read these books, you know, a lot of these stories and all that, you know, which them don't pan out at all. Just a lot of low grade, you know, propaganda.
Well, Alaska kind of got a lot of that, especially around 98, huh?
There's a lot of
stories about how easy it was to get gold and all that.
Well, when the first big was up there in the Klondike, you know, in Canada there, well, they just went wild, you know, in the States, spreading all that around, you know, how you could practically kick a spruce tree and the nuggets is hitting you on the head, you know. Which it didn't turn out, you know. There was thousands of guys come in the country. How many made it, you know? There weren't too many made it, you know. Of course, then they start spreading out, you know, all over the country. That's when they start finding these other camps, you know, like this camp and Ruby and Iditarod all over the country. They start spreading out. There was a lot of men here at one time, and they were all looking for gold, you know. There was nothing else to do at that time, you know. There was no, like now, you know, a bunch of, a lot of government jobs and... And that wasn't around at that time. You have to live pretty tough.
Yeah. So what advantage is it to other people if you get a whole bunch of new miners coming in? I mean, does that help out the miners that are already there? Or?
Well, the guy, it don't hurt him that he's already there. He's, see, there's like now you're they. The old hands, they run over the country like we talked pretty well, you know, and there's still a lot of ground around here, you know, and guys come in, they'll go and they'll stake and they'll prospect, which there is a chance they might find something. Who knows? The ground ain't been prospecting, you don't know. But anytime you're in an area that's mineralized, like around here in Eureka, all over, you know, there's always a chance you might find something yet, because there's still... course, but the easy is already somebody's got it, you know what I mean, because they've been here for the last 60 years, you know.
So did most of the people who lived in Manly used to be miners?
Well, no, there was a lot of miners here, but then there was other, you know, like a lot of guys wasn't even interested in mining. Come up here, they were woodcutter, you know, they'd cut wood, you know, and a lot of trappers, you know. And then there was all this other work, you know, like the road commission. They've been in here building roads, cutting trails, and there was other work, you know. There was a lot of guys that never put a pick in the ground, you know, especially a lot of trappers, you know. But then a lot of trappers, they prospected on a side too, you know. But then there was a lot of trappers that never dug a hole, you know. That's just strictly trappers. That's all they done, you know.
Well, did guys ever feel like if they prospected and they found something, that they'd never be able to hold it and somebody would just take it away from them?
Well, no, I don't know on that. I never... They did have trouble, I guess, years ago on that in Nome and a lot of that rich ground, you know. They were... jumping one another and all that ground, you know, and I guess the law and everything was in with a lot of them, you know. They had a lot of trouble up there, you know. But so, I don't think too much. You always had somebody with, well, not always, you know, but I guess it'd been tried all around or they're trying to crowd you out, you know, different guys would, you know. They'd run around, you know, and that's happened. I don't, can't nail it. All over, you know, they'd be moving stakes back, you know, trying to get a fraction in, you know, and stuff like that. That was an old game, you know. That didn't go regular, you know. But there was guys that was always trying to get in someplace and block another guy off so they could sell out to him, you know, and stuff like that. That went on all over the world, I guess, not only in Alaska, you know.
Block a guy out, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, just get someplace or a guy maybe is a little bit careless, didn't get enough ground, he'd get below you or something, then you'd have to get his ground for tailing room or something like that, sell out to you. And there was a lot of that went out, you know.
So
not a lot of it, but that was a kind of a game.
Yeah, sounds like shysters.
Yeah.
Well, how about the guys, you know, go out and get a legitimate prospect, make a legitimate strike, and then just do it to sell it? They didn't want to mine it?
Well, yeah, there was a lot of guys that was just kind of prospectors. They'd find something and they wanted to move on, you know, some guy come around with some money and they'd sell it to him and go someplace else. There was guys, yeah, then I know a little guy, or Shorty Barker, he was lucky 4 or 5 times he got on good ground and he dumped it all, never minded, sold it. And he was just one of them that was pretty lucky too. Like now Frank Manley here, you know, he himself wasn't a prospector. He'd go over some guy had a good crick, he'd go right there and make him a good offer, buy him out. he had money, you know, and that's what he'd do, you know, work the creek, and he done, that's practically all he done with. He'd just buy somebody out. Some guy had a good creek, and he made some, and the guy maybe want to sell it. Manly would buy it. When he was around here, that's the way, different four, five, two, well, he had different places around here. He bought out Eureka and there.
Was he still around here when you came here?
No, he was outside when I come here, but he had ground there in the Fairbanks that the FE was working it. They had a dredge on some of his ground. It was good ground, I guess. He had trouble with partners, too, and that, you know, and I guess. But I guess his word was good as gold. I know different guys said he'd get on his old horse and take off, and he'd crick look good to him. How much you want for it? If a guy wanted to sell $30,000 or $40,000, I know a guy told me he bought Glenn there. He said he just reached in his old saddlebags and had the money right with him. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys.
So if he reached into his saddlebags and pulled out
$30,000, yeah,
he figured he's going to make money on it?
Well, yeah, it looked good to him. He'd just take a chance of making.
How'd that work out for him?
Well, I guess he made money in places. Probably might have lost. I don't know, but you're the old guy who's talking about it. He made money here in Eureka, I guess, and then I think he made money down when I did a ride in different places. Oh, he lost money places too, you know. See, he had a lot of good ground there in Fairbanks. I just, all I know is what I read about him too, you know. But he was a plunger, I guess. He take a chance on just about anything.
So, gee whiz. How about hunting around here? Has that gone about the same way that fur has? Used to be a lot, and then there wasn't much.
Well,
at all.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Well, see, years ago around here, all over the country, you know, they were hunting just about all the time, you know, because nobody had no deep freezes and all this stuff, you know, and. Meat was hard in the summertime, you know. It all come, all the meat come from the States, you know, and they'd get it like these roadhouses and that. They'd buy moose meat and all that, which the there was law never frowned on that at all, you know. Miners had to have meat, you know, fresh meat, you know. Of course, there was canned meat and that bacon, but nobody wanted to eat that all the time. And they'd have, it were a lot of places they were frozen ground, you know, they dig tunnels away in a mountain, you know, and they can put doors in and everything, keep them cold in there, and they could keep meat a long time. They'd buy moose or anything that. And then a lot of meat come up, like in the fall of the year, they'd come up from the States, you know, and these guys would get it, and they'd keep it, you know. But meat was hard. It was, I imagine it's pretty, even when I first come around, it was kind of hard, you know, to fresh meat. Of course, like around Fairbanks, the meat had all come up, you know, like a sewer there on a boat, you know, all cold storage, and put in the reefers and get the Fairbanks, you know, and of course, in butcher shops, they all had cold storage, you know. There was a big outfit, Wechter Brothers. They was a big outfit in Fairbanks when I first come around, the real big outfit.
So they'd actually ship meat out here too?
Oh, like, yeah, they'd. But it was tough in the summer.
So where'd guys live on mostly then?
Well, they had to hit the canned, you know, well, somebody got some moose or caribou or something, you know, or bear or whatever.
You remember when there's many caribou around
Oh, yeah. I was around here when in the 30s when he was in here, you know, there was thicker than fleas on a dog's back. There's thousands of them that come through here. Yeah. 47 was the last ones I seen around here. Up to then, they were all this around. In the fall of the year, you know, is when the big migration would come through here, around here, Rampart and here, and they were all over.
Well, what do you think stopped that?
I don't know. They just changed their routes, I guess. That's the only thing.
Guys didn't kill them all off then.
No. But now, you know, lots of these places now where there used to be a lot of caribou, like the 40 mile and Denali Highway and all that, you know, before the roads is in there now, and now they're really working them over pretty good, you know. Well, just like here, when this road come in, you know, there was a lot of moose around you. There was a car every during hunting season at holidays and weekends. There was a car one right behind another. If a moose got on a road, he didn't have a chance, which one would wander on, you know. And he's at it, you know.
What was it like when the road first came through?
Well, there was a lot of game around you, then a lot of moose. What fouled the whole thing up here more than anything when they had that antler season, you know? They'd have it for a week or something like that, and they knocked off all the cows and them spring calves and all that, you know. That was a bum deal. You know yourself, you gotta have cows to build, keep up your herd. A rancher ain't going shooting all his cows off, you know, butchering them. You gotta keep going. Same thing with moose, how you get when you start killing the cows.
Well, they just figured they had too many.
Yeah, that's what they figured. But this country never was overpopulated with moose. There was lots of country around here. It never was like a lot of moose country, you know. This country here never was.
Well, now, the road, though, what year was it that road got done?
Oh, I don't roughly remember when the...
Sometime I don't know when they... Sometime in the 50s, maybe?
Huh?
Sometime in the 50s, or...?
No, later than that. Way in the 60s. It must have been the tail end of the 60s. Like, I can't never... When the road...
Well, what was the first thing that happened when the road got completed?
Well, it helped in one way, you know, getting supplies in a way, like for the miners, say. They could buy their oil in Fairbanks, and them truckers would bring it right to the mine. Or here, when they come down by boats, they had to unload it. They had to come down to town, you know, load it on a truck and haul it out to their place. That was one advantage that helped the miners, you know. And then people that had cars, they could go in and buy their different stuff, you know. It's easier, too, like for a miner. If he busted down, you know, he could jump in his car and go to town and get his parts, you know, right now.
Do you think the road mostly was put through for the miners?
No, I don't know. I suppose a lot of it was. But then they were just building the country up, you know. They were expanding all over going the roads, you know. Not only here, you know, it's all over the country. See, when they put that road into Livengood, that was special. That was pretty much for the mining, you know. There's quite a bit of mining, and then that big company come in, you know, put that dredge in and all that. Of course, they were building roads all around, you know.
And then, like Tofty Road, that's pretty much just for miners.
Huh? Well, yeah, that's strictly. There was a lot of miners out there at one time, you know, when they was drift mining out there at Woodchopper. And
so they actually built that road all the way to Woodchopper?
The road commission worked on it all, the old road commission, but they didn't have much equipment. It always was, never was much of a road, you know. They just had a few guys working here and then. When I first come around, you know, they'd all get their stuff in there in the spring of the year, their heavy oil, you know, and stuff like that. And then they start, when the airplane come too, they all start building little airports, you know, like Miller and Tofte and Miller and American Creek. And they could haul a lot of stuff in with air, went into with airplanes, you know.
So now, when you're living here in Manly, though, when that road was done, you're in town here?
When
the road got completed?
From Fairbanks here? Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, a year long before that. They didn't start that till the 60s, something, I don't know.
You were around when the first cars came over it and stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I do.
What kind of differences did you notice about the, I mean, what was the effect of having that road open?
Well, it was, you know, it wasn't much of a road when they first punched it through, you know. Well, you could get over it, you know. You have to have conditions pretty right, you know. Not much gravel on and all that. And wasn't too good. It was raining.
But you mentioned the thing about the moose. Seems like a lot of moose got shot off.
Well, yeah, that was a little tough on a moose, you know. They come through a lot of that country that nobody got into, you know, too much, just a trap or something, you know. And that was, you might say, good breeding ground. A lot of moose, you know, nowadays just keep moving, you know.
Well, that was right through your trapping country, too.
Oh, yeah, when I trapped on a West Fork and through the Hooter, yeah, there was a lot of moose there at times, you know.